This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yo, me as a woman can tell you, see more time you box someone with some wicked talk. It's when action for go on is like you wish them never even start. Laugh, I'm hearing this serious allegation. Say the man them one come drop in a wee bed. I tune them one come tune in from we station. I run them one come run with body red. I'm hearing some serious allegation. Say the man them one come drop in a wee bed. I tune them one come tune in from we station. I run them one come run with body red. But tell me you, can you manage where you have to be so long? And if a hard night work, can you stay strong? I hope you have more than one combination. For he's a lion. And if you want it fast, then you go a little faster. Create a storm and become a disaster.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, within the sound of my voice. This is Kendini Campbell-Moss, and we are here on Guardian Radio 96.9, Fresh News, Smart Talk, all day. And this evening, we are speaking about something that's quite controversial, something that is timely, something that needed to be said. We have the proper legal expert on tap, because this is actually her situation, and she has dealt with this particular case. She knows everything about it. Like, she is the aficionado on this particular case. Often we hear things like, your daddy ain't your daddy and your daddy don't know. What would happen if a woman literally knew that the man is not the child's father, but she was dibbling and dabbling, so she picked the best one, the one that she knew would take care of the kid. And so years go by and the man finds out, this is legitimately not my kid. Is the woman trifling? But you were there. This yours. You're a child for quite some time. You've invested in the child's life. You are a part of this child. This woman bamboozled you. And you are not the father. Ladies and gents, this case is going to set precedent. I have had so many inbox messages. Tell the people, call the station and all. Regina, good evening.
Yes. Good evening, Ms. Moss. How are you?
I am wonderful. Now, I want you to set the precedent. I want you to walk us through how we got to this point. Tell me about the case. I know that there's certain things you cannot say, but you tell me, set this up for me so that we can get into the dialogue, please.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. I do note that I shall start with a disclaimer, as I still have to maintain my client's confidentiality and my attorney-client relationship. And I must also, as officer of the court, maintain that the justice, Denise Lewis Johnson, gave the ruling under the anonymousness of the party's name and the child. And I have, as an officer of the court, must continue to adhere to that. In essence, for me, supposed to be a normal divorce. I represented the respondent in this divorce. And I do know that my learned friend, Mr. Henfield, represented the petitioner. We went through the normal procedure of a divorce to the decree nisi. And at the ancillary stage, we were presented with an application that the minor child of this marriage was not the petitioner's child. And at that point, we had to do another DNA test. The first DNA test was not an official DNA test that the court would utilize. Hence, we agreed for a second paternity test. And once that was done, it was found out that the child was not the petitioner's child. I do note that we must always say, and it's always known, that as an attorney, I am a creature of instructions. I can advise you, Ms. Moss, on everything to do, But you can still, after being given advice, choose to advise me. You don't want to do what I say. You want to do something else. And I still have to do as you instructed, and I have to advise you of the repercussions or the consequences of in my ethical and legal authority to do. So once we got there, we realized that we had an issue of paternity, and the court had invited us to do submissions on this area. And we would note that this area in the Caribbean is well known. In Jamaica, it's called hiding. We did all of our research, and between the areas of law in relation to paternity fraud, it deals with married persons and unmarried persons. And when it deals with married persons, this application can be done under the divorce. It cannot be done in the normal common law and equity portion of the division of the Supreme Court. It must be done under the divorce, under Section 29 of the Matrimonial Causes Act and Rules. We do know that in this instant case, the court wanted the parties, the counsel for the parties, to assist with what was the criteria for paternity fraud. And I shall read the exact words of Her Ladyship at paragraph 93, which provides what is paternity fraud. It is representation by words or conduct that the mother allows the father to be involved in the child's upbringing, claims maintenance, and or allows the man's name to be put on the birth certificate. The mother must have known at the time she told or allowed the belief to be made that it was false or could be false. The representation must have been deceitful, either deliberate or recklessly, in not caring whether it was true or not. The representation must be made with the intention that it would be acted upon. The father must have acted upon the deceitful representation and suffered damages. In essence, if you are unsure that the child is his, it still is deemed to be paternity fraud, because any inkling of your representation being untruthful is enough to cross the beliefs that the child is his, and he expands money's emotional and psychological reliance on that, there is a high probability that paternity fraud will be granted. In this instant case, the petitioner offered an estimation of how much money that the petitioner would have spent on the said child. And at that rate, it was estimated that he spent $300 per month for 12 years. And I gave submissions on behalf of my client for the matter to be, for that amount to be set off, because there was a certain division in the household responsibilities between the petitioner and the respondent, where the respondent paid for most of the educational expenses and vacations for the family. Hence, I think that the court did a set off in relation to not giving the full amount for the $300, but ordered the $21,500. In that, we do note that this is on when paternity fraud can happen, but the issue that it is if a man is unsure that the child is his, and him and the mother have the conversation, and he acquiesce in colloquial words is, I accept that I'm not the father, but I'm going to stand in as the father. That means you accept that this is not my child, but I'm going to treat this child as if he is. If you do that, you cannot come to the court and say paternity fraud, because you have accepted that this child may not be biologically mine, but I will treat him as such. And that was discussed inside of the ruling in relation to this matter, because in law, we call that the child of the marriage. They're not biological children of the marriage, but they would be a child of the marriage, because when the parties come together in this union, they accept any parties' other children. And they agree that if something happens between them, they would still maintain these children that are not their biological child. We do know that the ruling has a limitation. It has a bar. And the bar is from the date of knowledge, when you become aware that this child is not yours, you only have 1 year. 1 year from that date to come to the court to make an application for paternity fraud. Once you are outside of that 1 year, the court deems it that you acquiesced and you accepted that the child is not yours, and you will still be mandated to take care of the child. And I do know that this ruling dealt with changing the child's name back. And I must distinguish a point about that. Many mothers are having children in different jurisdictions. If the child is not the Bahamian judiciary, cannot give an order for the child's name to be changed. Because under this ruling, Justice Lewis Johnson gave that ruling because she can amend by an order in the births and registries to the registrar of the Registrar General's Department for the child's name to be amended based on an order. But if this child is born in another jurisdiction, the parties will have to take this the ruling and present that before the consulate of that country and hire an attorney in that jurisdiction in order for that name to be changed. That's not automatic if the child is not born in the Bahamas.
That is a lot to conceptualize. That is a whole lot. So when you speak about the child, is this between a married couple, or this is between couples that are not married?
Okay, Ms. Moss, and I had to do both sides because paternity fraud can happen in a relationship. In relation to a marriage, that is done under your ancillaries, under divorce. For unmarried people, that is an application you bring in common law and equity. And under common law and equity, you bring that application with all your supporting documents. And most likely, at that point, both parties for both applications would need to bring a DNA test. And that DNA test would present the time frame for your limitation, because you would only be aware that the child is not yours until you get a DNA test. So if we get a DNA test today,
right,
today, next year, if you don't do nothing before it, you're going to be bound to still have that legal requirement to maintain this child, because you basically accepted it's not mine and I don't want to do anything about it. So what do you want the law to do? So it is a question of, if you want to move to the court for a remedy, you have a time limit, and your time limit is a year. And any
Miss Bonamy, so tell me something now. My child is 18. Hypothetically, my child is 18. A huge argument. I say, well, that's why that ain't your child anyhow. He's already taken care of the child for 18 years. Has my statutes of limitations run out?
No, it the statute starts at 18. The statute starts at a year after it's becoming his knowledge that the child is not his. By you saying that, you may trigger him to take a DNA test on next week Thursday. And when he takes that on next week Thursday and he gets the results back on whatever day, because you know on the test, it says what day the results is given to you. He says when exactly. He collects it. Because it goes by when you knowledge. So if he takes the test today and then he gets the results tomorrow, but then he doesn't pick it up till 2 months ago, his time starts 2 months, because that's when he really knows that the child is not his. That's when he got that paper in hand to say the DNA test says 0%.
So tell me
something. And all of these things would have to be fleshed out in an affidavit to show that you're still within your limitation period, because we have to always remember that we are encapsulated in the law, and we must prove everything that we assert.
Okay, so tell me something. Okay, this text is reading because the texts are coming in fast and furious. This is not going to be an hour show. I have to buy you dinner tonight. This is not going to be an hour show. This is a question that reads, ask your attorney if there is such a term anymore as bastards.
No, there's no term as bastards because the Child Protection Act and the Status of the Children Act makes all the children equal. So there's no unwed or wed children that makes them, all children are equal. It doesn't matter. So if you have a parent and your parent dies, all the children, once you can prove that he signed the birth certificate or you have a DNA test that says he's your father, or he signed an affidavit that he says he's your father, even though you don't have his name in the heirship of next of kin, you are still deemed to be his child and you would still get all the benefits. If he does not have a will that specifies who his belongings will go to. So no, there's no differentiation of that. Or most people need to realize once, then you can say, I can oust a child or I can oust a person who is in line. But if you leave it without a will, then everybody it's open for everybody to get a piece.
So there's no separation of the children, whether the child was in the marriage or out of the marriage. Okay, texter, that answers your question. Now let's get to the meat of some of the other questions. This question reads, if I discover that I'm not the biological father after years of paying child support, can I get my money back?
Yes, you can get your money back. But it still relies on facts, and all matters are different because I need to know when did he find out that he was not the child's father, because it still has to be within the year. So if he finds out that the child isn't his on the child's 18th birthday and he files after finding out within that year, yes, because he can most likely do an estimation that he spends $300 or X amount of dollars on the child for that time period, or if he had a court order at the magistrate court level to pay maintenance, all of that information can be gleaned into the application to quantify how much money he has spent on the child.
Okay. Can a woman be legally prosecuted for paternity fraud? And is it possible for her to receive jail time?
It is possible for her to receive jail time because under the order, you'll be ordered to pay the funds. If you don't pay the funds, the other side can make an application for enforcement and or committal. And if they do enforcement and you cannot pay, then the court can, on their own volition, give a sentence in order for you to pay, or another avenue is they can do committal proceedings. That you are in contempt of the court order, and because you are in contempt of the court order, they're asking for you to spend time at Her Majesty's grace.
Okay, this is a text that came in. I asked this woman where she has been for the last 52 years. I'm almost certain that three of my siblings are not for my father. We are all jet black with peasy head. My other siblings are bright skin, almost darn. Does it say darn? Near beige with nice silky pressed hair. And my dad accepted all of these children. But I think he accepted these children because he knew that he was stepping out of my mother in any event. Where have you been for the last umpteen years? Because these women are trifling. Now this is coming in from a child about his mom or her mom. Now this is another question. How do I legally challenge paternity if I initially signed the birth certificate without a DNA test?
Okay, I'll answer your first one first. 54 okay. years ago, unfortunately, I wasn't born as yet. So I can't say what would have happened, but in essence, their question basically answered it. He accepted the children. So it's not an issue of paternity fraud anymore. Because once the mother makes you aware and you accept it, come to the court for recourse or a solution, because you already said, okay, it's just the same way in a divorce. if we are a couple and I cheat and you forgive me, you can't come back to court next month and say I cheat on you and you want a divorce. You already forgive me for that. And that cannot be that cannot be a live ground for a divorce anymore because we came back as husband and wife. Kindness between us.
Is that sexual activity?
Yes, and we acting as husband and wife. I take you out on dates. Right. I forgive you. We don't cry about it. We go on to the pastor to talk about it. We go on the counseling. We started to go on retreats together. We strengthen our relationship. We're stronger than ever. So how now you want to come this week and say you don't want to be with me?
Okay, so this text reads, Miss, these women are too tricky. I'm grateful that actually something like this is finally coming to the light. These women are tricky, they're deceitful, and they're dishonest. They cause men great emotional stress, but nobody wants to have that conversation. Kenny, thank you and Dwight and Guardian 96.9 for bringing this to the forefront. Y'all can catch plenty hell for this today, but we thank you. Okay, I appreciate you as well. This question reads, what emotional and psychological support is available for men affected by paternity fraud, especially when they've formed a bond with the child? Would you have that information, Regina? I mean, is that a thing that you would have?
Yes. In relation to when I produce submissions on this matter, there is a case of A versus B in relation to emotional and psychological stresses. Once everything, we must realize everything is he who asserts must prove. If the father is, that the non-father is claiming emotional, he has to be, he can give medical evidence that before he knew that the child, when he knew that the child was his, he didn't have any medical conditions. All of a sudden, he has different plethora of medical issues. He cannot sleep. He has insomnia. And once you can prove that, but for the paternity fraud, your health has declined and you have medical evidence to it, the court should have no issue with assessing it in relation to compensation. And we must say that all cases are based on its facts. And once the facts is laid over to the judge in relation to the matter, they would weigh the benefits of being that father and bonding with that child with any emotional or psychological stresses that happened. And the judge does that balancing act. It's not for the attorney. The evidence and basically argue in the best interest of our client.
Okay. We have a caller. Caller, you're on.
Good afternoon, Ms. Campbell.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm going to call my name. Good afternoon, madam. How are you, too?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, and you?
I'm going to call my name over the radio. My name is Julian Ferguson. Now, I want you to hear my story. I was taken to court by a lady. She's now deceased. To say that she was pregnated by me with a son. We went in the front of the magistrate. He is now deceased, Mr. Gomez. That's when they used to be through Victoria thing down there, by opposite the post office, child support court. I went into there. He asked us some questions, and I agreed. He said, okay, give the woman, back in the day then, say give the woman $30 a week. I said, no problem. She must be expecting more than that. Now, here how the story end. I named Julian. The girl had a brother named Julian. I named Julian. And eventually I found out that his real dad named Julian. So all the while I was bragging that I had a junior, I was being tripped. And let me show you how I found out I'm being tripped. I'm going to write a story on this. Let me show you how I was being tripped. The little boy started coming around, about 3-4 started coming around, when he was about 6 years old. He came by my mom's house. My sister asked him if he have a passport. She wanted to take him to Disney World with the rest of her niece and nephew. She tell him, ask his mommy if he have a passport, and she'll take him on a trip. The little boy came back the following weekend and told my sister that he is going to Andres to his daddy. His mommy said he's spending Andres with his daddy, spending summer with his daddy and Andres. I didn't say nothing. You're still there, right?
I am.
I didn't say anything. I went up. We was asked twice to go do a DNA test. Right? She never showed up. I went on call as avenue twice. She never showed up. So I decided to take the young man at 8-7. I was disappointed that the little boy wasn't my own. But I had already grown up a relationship with him. And he never did get to go to Andrews to the gentleman. But he just started calling me daddy. So I just grew up a bond with him. The young man died at the age of 28. Believing that I was his dad. I knew that I was in his dad. He never knew that. And I had to turn around and bury him. Now, in a case like that,
That is the measure of a man, though, Mr. Ferguson. That is a measure of a man. You took on a manly responsibility.
I had no choice. Because the young boy was so attached to me. How am I going to tell a 7-year-old boy I'm your daddy? And I'm the only father that he knew. And I want to ask the lady, if his mother was alive, would it have been any way that I could have got all of my money back or at least some of my money back from her in some way?
I have a question, a part of your story. You said
I did the DNA test of my own. She was already...
When did you do it?
Hello? He was
when
about 7 years old.
And can you estimate what year that was?
Well, that would have been about, my daughter is 27. He was older than my daughter. He would have been about 30 now.
But I know that you said you went to the magistrate court.
Yes.
Something we're going to pedal back, and I'm going to show you how you could have remedied that way before. When you went before the magistrate,
yes,
for any matter, they ask you if you accept paternity. If you have doubt that the child is not yours, pardon me, say it again.
I've never signed for the boy. I've never signed for him. The magistrate asked me, say, Ferguson, you ever had sex with this lady? I said, yes. And I put my hand towards heaven as the Morris Vanity. He said, did you use a condom? Because he knew me. He said, did you use a condom? I said, no. He said, get the woman $30 a week.
Okay.
Every time I stop paying, there's one particular police that will come and serve me in some way. One particular police.
Mr. Ferguson, I would tell you that I do magistrate court custody a lot. And I do know that the procedure that I've become accustomed to is when the first time that you're bringing, that a mother's bringing a father for child support,
yes,
the magistrate asks, do you accept that you are the father of this child? That question is not a light question to
answer. That was my problem. They asked, mind you, he did ask me, you know. And I was my first child and a boy.
But then you notice on the balance of it, if you told the magistrate then, I think I may or may not be the father, once you cannot give a definitive answer of yes, that's my child, the magistrate is mandated to order a paternity test. And when they order the paternity test, they order you to pay for the paternity test. If the child it comes out to not be yours, then the mother has to repay you for the test. And if you
all
did
right,
that,
Mr. Ferguson, we just listen for us. So we have to entertain one or two more calls.
Ms. Moss, I know that everybody wants the question of is DNA test is going to be mandated. That's not a question that I could deal with, because that is a question that would need to come from the government. That would be a legislative or an act of parliament, because the judiciary have to enforce acts and legislations.
Okay. So if this is the this is a text, and the text reads, maybe we wouldn't have all of these problems if we took time to know people and didn't always jump into beds. Half of the time, we don't know who these people are we're having children with. She or they're having sex with Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm having sex with God knows whom else. And then a baby shows up. Maybe if we confined these things to marriage, we wouldn't be in the same situation. But I mean, that it happens in marriages as well. Let me read these texts to you. We must expose every woman publicly, also men. So how do I tell if a woman is lying as it relates to her revealing to you that she told you the child is not yours, given that she can weaponize this? This is a demonic country. These people who go to church weekly, there are many wicked females are in this city galore. I'm not sure what the second word is. And then this next text reads, they do this for things and money. This next text reads, Kenny, this is an interesting topic. I would like to say this to you. I'm a physician and I'm listening to your show. The irony of this is that I knew for a fact that the child that my wife brought home was not mine. I still took care of the child. I didn't have to do a DNA test because, you see, I knew for a fact that I could not make children. However, I was on the outside of our marriage and I was having extracurricular activity, but I took the child on. I took the child on because I wanted to prove that I was a man, prove that I could have a child. It's now 26 years later. My child lives in a different country. Our child lives in a different country. I've taken care of this child for 20 plus years. She is mine. I am hers. I am the father, even though I know that I am not the father. My wife recently, Jesus Lord, my wife recently died, and she went to the grave knowing that I knew for a fact that this child was not mine. But you know what I did when I visited her in the hospice? I said to her, I know what you did, and I thank you. I had to thank her because I couldn't have a child of my own. Do you know what that is for a man growing up in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s? Not to be able to father a child? As a physician, it showed me my volatility and my vulnerability. I thanked my wife, and I still take care of my child. I am a physician, and I have 4 grandchildren, but this is the only child that my wife gave to me. This particular man knows that the child isn't his. All right.
That deals with the acquiescence. He's okay with it. Even though the wife never had that conversation, he's well aware. He knew. So he didn't have a problem being a father and having those legal responsibilities attached to maintaining and being emotionally available for a child. Many men are doing that and they are well aware. But this ruling is giving the I should be properly advised to make an informed decision. Exactly. And that's the issue. That's the whole issue. If I know that the child isn't mine, I need you to just let me know so I can say if I want to be down for another 18 years and college and grandchildren and be okay with that within myself. Let me do a self-check to make sure that I can be okay with being a father, even though I'm not biologically the father.
Okay. This text reads, what steps can men take to protect themselves from paternity fraud before signing any legal documents or agreeing to child support? Tell your lawyer that you have to understand kid demons, and half of the time where it's really just for us to get off, but then we get so lazy and the spot feels so good that we forget where we are and we end up with a child. But guess what? It could be more than us. More than us what? Okay, more than us. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. How can they prevent it? If you are aware that you are, what's the best way to say, you're in a situationship, you're not in exclusive anything, and pregnancy occurs, that is enough reason for you to want a DNA test. If you are not in an exclusive relationship and you sneak in, you're well aware of the probability of it being yours or whoever else you, the person is talking to. The issue is, if a young lady takes you to court and you're not sure, ask the magistrate for a paternity test. Many times, y'all have these children. Y'all could take the child to Kelso's lab and get a test done. And if you then find out, the child is not yours, then you need to find you a good attorney in order for the name to be removed or any kind of resolution that you would wish to have in the circumstances.
This text reads, wear a condom or have a vasectomy. Those are the steps that this texter says that you should probably try. This text reads here, oh boy, my texters are in their feelings this evening with how they text. Texters, I want y'all to know that I cannot read these explicits on radio. We could get, Erica will definitely fine us, but I will find a way to read it properly. If I raised this child for 18 years and formed a bond, do I still have the right to be present at their graduation and other major milestones if I'm not the biological father?
That question, all of these questions must be answered under great facts. Because if you accept that the child is not yours and you still want to be the daddy, you can go to the graduation. That's no issue. You are a part of their life and you are the father. In essence, that you accepted it. But if you bring a paternity fraud application and you are basically asking for ties to be severed, it is detrimental to the child for you to want to sever but still continue. So you have to pick which side you want. It's not fair to the child. The child to be a teeter-totter. It's okay for you not to take care of me, but you want to be to all of the events. That's in the scheme of if you made an application for paternity fraud and you want all your money back, you don't want your name back, and it wouldn't be fair for the child to still have to sever, but then still see you. You have to pick what you want. And that is a big conversation for the parties also. Because
do you not see though?
Mm-hmm.
Do you not see though that these women are, what is a for lack of a better word, I don't want to say trapsy, because I mean that's essentially what happens when you knowingly have a child for a man and you know that this is not the man's child. But if you're having sexual intercourse with two or more men, and the one that you know that is the provider, you know that this ain't his. But you just say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And you just say, listen, I'm going to go with the one who's going to provide. Not this one who just given me good rhythm. Not with this one who just blowing my neck out. I'm going to go with the one that can definitely financially support. You do realize that those are some of the situations we find ourselves in. Correct?
Yes, I do. In Jamaica, that's the basis of their jacketing. They pick the best man. The best stable man is usually coined to be the father. And in most instances, he is not the biological father.
These are some texts that have come in. You see why many men are not getting married to some of these Bahamian females. These females sell their soul for money and status while married. Good day, and why men over 50, 60, and 70s always accepting children without DNA testing, especially for non-Bahamian women. Great show. You need to do this every week to purge the city of the wicked females. Hey, oh Lord. All right, I will see what I can do. This text reads, this text reads, Kenny, a lot of women
in our grandmother's age are blessed that Dana didn't exist, because they know full well that these children do not belong to these men. How could you be on the exchange for 9 months and come back home, and then in 6 months, your wife is pregnant or the wife has already birthed the child? These men aren't stupid. They knew exactly what was going on. But let's look at these modern day harlots. What about them? Okay, I get that, right? My mommy always used to say, your name wouldn't get called if you wasn't there shooting marble. You were shooting the marble, right? Shoot the arrow, shoot the arrow. You was there. So if you were there, aren't you just as liable as somebody who may or may not have been there? Your name wasn't going to get called. You've been there. So if a woman says, listen, all three of y'all was here and I just pick eeny, meeny, miny, moe, can she be culpable? Can she be, can the onus be on her to say, you know something, you did wrong? And could you take this woman to court? Could I just garnish her for wages because she lied to this man all this time? Could that happen?
Yes, it could, but it's within the constraints of the facts of the matter, because all matters are different. And when did he find out the child wasn't his? We are always set on the year. You have a year after you have knowledge that the child is not yours.
This is a question. My father claims he fathered a daughter. She is a double affair baby. Both parents were married to other people. To my knowledge, she carries the last name of her mother's husband. She should be in her mid-30s. Outside of him naming her in his will, is she entitled to inheritance from him?
Because in your will, you usually say to my dear daughter, Kendanique, and the name, or my cousin, or my mother. So if he says his daughter, then that is an inference that she is his child. And even if there's no inference, the testator's wishes in their will is their intent. And if his intent was to give it to her, the intent will have to be honored. Even if he did not specify that, that's his daughter.
Okay, this is another text.
And also, the court could test her blood against the grandmother or siblings
to see if
they are related.
Okay. All right. This is another message. Paternity fraud. Some 20 odd years ago, my husband was told he fathered a daughter. He trusted his girlfriend and signed for the daughter. Years later, the mother admitted that she was seeing another man at that same time and believed this man to be the biological father. I am concerned this daughter, adult now, is claiming that she... I'm sorry. I am concerned his daughter, now an adult, has a claim to my husband's assets. To my knowledge, no DNA... A, is the young lady entitled to anything? B, how do we remove his name from her birth certificate? C, can we give this young lady... can we have this young lady change her last name? We believe she has a child who may also be carrying a false last name. And then D, what can he do to protect himself and his children? That's a loaded question. That's loaded.
It is a loaded question, but it is a question deemed in fact and applicableness of law. The first issue does he have confirmation that the child is not his? And anything you said, it doesn't say a DNA test. So if he decides to go to court and sue for paternity fraud, the young lady will be mandated by the court to take the DNA test. And if the DNA test comes back that he is not the father, then legally he would already have to quantify how much he thinks, or if he has... he had surgeries or he paid for boarding schools and he have all his receipts, he can compile that into a table and put all of those exhibits to the court to let the court know that if the DNA test comes back, then I would be seeking for the court to order X amount of dollars to be prepared to me because I have maintained the said child and the said grandchild, which is a heir of the child that I thought was mine. And in essence, the paternity fraud does bring an issue in relation to inheritance, because in his application, he would have to ask for certain declarations that the child's name to be changed. That's if the child was born in the Bahamas, because if the child was not born in the Bahamas, a judicial officer of the Supreme Court cannot order a foreign jurisdiction to remove or change or amend a name. They would have to make an application through an attorney of that jurisdiction in that jurisdiction. And she would be able to have the child and the grandchild's name to be ordered to be changed to her biological mother. Because in this instant case that we're talking about, the respondents, the child of this mother's name was changed to the respondent's maiden name.
Okay. All right. So I have some more questions coming in for you. This question here reads, Kenny, this is timely. Should I have divorced my husband? Reason being, we have three children together. My first child does not belong to him. However, he took care of my child, and we would have been married for some 21 years. My husband cheated on me and had two children with one particular woman who showed up to his father's funeral. We only knew about her at the repast because she was bold enough to make her presence felt. I ask this question to you because I want to know if something should happen to my ex-husband, because we are very much divorced now, do I have to give anything to his bees? And remember, I asked you because there was a question that came out already. Is there such a legal term anymore as bastards? Because in this text, the woman asks, do I have to give anything to his bee children? And again, she made it very clear that they are now divorced. But if he has a will and he leaves something to his children with her, does she have to share it with his children that he had in the marriage? If they're, and I'm assuming that they're not named in his will, if he has one.
Kenny, these scenarios are always going to be foxy. First issue I would note, have they dealt with their ancillaries and their divorce? Because if they have not, they are still joint tenants. And then she still would be deemed, if he dies, to be the person who owns the child, owns the property in afterward, if they're joint tenants. Joint tenants is basically last man standing holds the property. So if they have not done ancillaries and her name is still on the property, even if he gives it to any child, that gift cannot properly be transferred because she's a joint tenant and she would be the last one with the property being conveyed to her. She would be the one who can will it to somebody else. That's the issue with joint tenant. Both of us can will it to people, but it's the last person standing.
What does that mean, last person standing? What does that mean? So, okay, Regina, my mother is deceased. My father is her next of kin. My mother doesn't, my mother didn't have a will. So what does, it's only me and my brother. So then who's the last man standing?
Okay, the last man standing in that scenario is daddy. Daddy has to will it to whoever. Whoever daddy will it to, that's who it goes to. Ain't nobody else it goes to. He can give you it as a joint tenant. Heirs hold on to the property. Meaning your child and your brother's child, you would keep on replacing each other's children or offspring in the sharing of whatever property that is.
Okay.
That's tenants in common. But joint tenant is last man standing. Both of us own the property, but whoever lived the longest is their own. That's like in a marriage.
She texts back. She says, ancillary matters are done. I bought him out. It belongs to me 100%.
Okay, so he can't wear that to nobody. So okay, she needs to make sure that that he signed over his rights, and she has recorded that conveyance and exhibited the court order in the right transfer, so that that's already recorded in the Registrar General. So if any cause for any searches, it would come up to say that he has already accepted X amount of dollars for his rights in the property, and that he has transferred it to her, and she's the sole owner.
Okay.
So he cannot, for that property, he cannot transfer that to any of his children. That's not it.
Okay. So these texts read, these many females are too hot. Good evening. Can I ask the lady what action to take in this matter? Abandonment. However, the judge had asked how much I can afford for child support. Bear in mind, she at nor my lawyer had a list of my expenditures nor my salary slip to determine what I needed to pay. However, I was told to pay $400. How is this fair? And I found this out after the fact, so I was really furious. These females are slick and will never change. They get married and have the sweethearts. Wicked. Okay, this next text reads, these women are wicked animals. I've never come across such devious and conniving people in all of my time. All right. Okay. Boy, these men are furious today.
I got one of the, I think the first question.
Yes.
I need to be aware, did he have an attorney?
He says, and I
think he said something about he provided them with his affidavit of means, basically of his bills and everything else. So it sounds to me that he consented, because you can't do that. You can consent to how maintenance is paid, because I can say I only have $500 at the end of paying the bills. I could give you $275. That's the best I could do, or you want me just go to the court and you may get less, but I'm offering you $275. And you may say, I don't want to do the hassle and the long drawn out getting an attorney or doing the back end and the forth. And we agree to the $275 per month. Because I can't say without knowing the facts how he had to agree to the $400.
Okay, this text reads here, Kenny, stop sympathizing with these men. They just want these children. If you lay down with me, you expect to get a little something. You make a noise about a couple dollars over 18 years, which y'all just blow in the bar. Come on, man. Take care of this baby. Man up. Okay. This next text reads, is it fair to the child to suddenly erase me from their life as of DNA? When I've been the only father that they've known. I ask this question because today at graduation, this chick didn't even acknowledge me. I saw your flyer yesterday, you know, and I said, you know something? I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait and see if she actually invites me to the graduation this morning. I stood at the graduation this morning in the back of the room. But when my daughter, or who I think is my daughter, saw me, she didn't wait on the stage for her mother to embrace her. She ran straight to me. Do you know what it is to have a child and not be acknowledged? I've taken care of this child. I watched this woman walk into her home. I caught her, you see, in the actual act. When I say caught her in the act, she was there with somebody else. When I approached her, she walked into the house and the dude pulled a gun on me. And so I walked away. But I came to the graduation today to prove that, you know something, I'll still stand by this kid. I go by the school. I put money on her lunch account. I make sure that she's taken care of. I even go to the little girl's salon to make sure that if she needs anything, a hair comb or a hair plait, because the ma can't plait, I make sure that the child is taken care of. But this mother is a C. Oh, boy. I don't have to tell you what that C stand for, right? Okay. What happens in this case? Because he says, is it fair? Is it fair for the woman to suddenly take him out of the child's life? The child graduation was today. What happens? Is there some recompense for him as a man? Because the women seem to be doing this very willy-nilly.
I understand it, and I'm going back to my favorite line. Facts. What graduation is? Is this grade 6 graduation or is this grade 12 graduation? That takes us into how the advice will be given. He says he caught her in the act, but he still does not know whether concrete the child is in his. He didn't say that he do a DNA test. You could catch somebody in the act, but then I could have already been caught before you catch me in the act by you. So it always has to be that you have to be sure that the child is not yours.
He said, boss lady, my apology. Boss lady, my apology. I did the DNA test. He said that 5 times. I took the child with me to get her life insurance. I'm responsible, you know. I don't want y'all to take me for no clown. I am very responsible. I took the child to get a DNA test because I wanted to have life insurance. I am an officer, so anything can happen to me on this road. So he did a DNA test.
When did he do the DNA test?
Let's wait for him to text back.
And is he the father, and does he wish for his monies to be returned? Because he has not said that. His answer is leaning towards,
it doesn't seem to have anything to do with him wanting financial recovery. It seems more of an emotional investment. He wants to know, is it fair? Texter, please text me back. Let me know if you did what the paternity test said, and tell us what the paternity test said, and what is the next question to ask him?
When did he take the paternity test?
Okay, he is text back. I took 6 years ago. I know that the little girl isn't mine.
And does the little girl have his last name?
I'll read from the text back, but he clearly said he took the test 6 years ago, and he says that he knows that the girl isn't his.
Yes, and in that vein, you can still, because he has accepted it, he can demand that he has parental responsibilities, and he can seek access because he's accepted it. He can't take that away from him, and if he wants access to the child, he can provide the court with that he's well aware he's outside the limitations. He's already grown an emotional and financial bond towards this child, and he wants to continue to raise the child, because that was a part of this matter also, because one of the cases that we had to research, there was a rich tycoon, and he told the court that they know who the daddy is. He don't want the real daddy around the child because that's his child. He is taking care of this child. He don't want no next man taking care of the child, even though the child isn't. It's his child because he has raised the child, and the court accepted that. Okay, so if he wishes to have the legal rights that he's already catering towards in taking care of the child, he can go. He has a recourse with the court because he's already accepted that the child is not biologically his, but he's accepted the child is his child, that he wants the with rights and the responsibilities and the benefits to take care of.
Okay, let me read this next. Let me read this next one for you. This one says here, if the mother knowingly misled me, does she have the moral right to exclude me now that the truth is out? But you would have already answered that question. Is it fair for the child to suddenly erase me from their life just because the DNA, when I've been the only father that they've known? No, not necessarily. I mean, I don't know. This text reads, yes, I did have an attorney. No, I did not. My attorney nor the judge had any of that information. Why is it that after I leave, I'm finding out it's supposed to happen? Women in this town have been cheating for decades in this wicked city. Okay. All right,
I will expand. There are many ways to find an attorney in the Bahamas. Yeah. And attorneys in the Bahamas, we are not allowed to advertise. And it's basically a referral basis. And I noticed that people are now taking their referrals to Facebook pages where they're asking other people who have had legal matters if the attorneys that they have dealt with, were they good? And most people are getting responses about, okay, this may be a better attorney for this kind of a matter. So if you are looking for an attorney, that may be an avenue, because I know many people, we are not allowed to advertise. So we can't say what our specialty is or any of that. You have to actually sit down with an attorney to find out about your attorney, unless somebody else is willing to say, oh, I had Ms. Bondby for a divorce and it was excellent or whatever, or I had this attorney for a divorce and it was smooth sailing and everything. But you only can get that through a referral by somebody else.
Okay. This question here is, can I sue the mother's family if they knew and kept the truth hidden from me?
You can only sue the person that...
Okay. What are my rights if I found out that I was a victim of paternity fraud 30 years later? You already explained that. Why isn't mandatory DNA testing at birth a standard law, especially for these chicks who have babies and are not married?
As I previously stated, only the government can mandate such a law, and only the judiciary can enforce it. So unless we as the nation require the government to make such a act, we would still be in the same predicament.
Okay. So this question reads, what happens to my estate if I die believing a child is mine and it's later disproven?
If it's later disproven that the child is not yours, there are different recourses under the probate. You would have to contest the probate in relation to saying that the child is not the child of the late deceased, and you would have to either take a blood test in relation to the other children or his mother in order to find out if there's any blood relation. And if it is that the child, the adult now, is found out not child, there should be the declaration in relation to he is not a child and that he shouldn't have heirship in relation to the property.
Okay, this text.
That's why I said it's going to end up being contentious.
Okay, this text is very contentious as well, because this text reads, Kenny, this is all very funny. My father had four children, all in our marriage. He brought home another child from a relationship that he had on my mom. Do you know what I did when he died? He did leave us certain items, and you know what I did? I tied up the entire process because there was no way in this world that I was going to allow this child that my father had on my mother to get any of the things that he had. Because you know why? The woman sat right beside my mother many days in church. It's always these Anglican and Catholic people that sit right beside you, meanwhile coveting your man. But I will tell you this, she gets absolutely nothing. My father has been dead now for 7 years. And you know what? None of us really need anything that my dad left behind, but she surely does. And you know what we did? We tied it all up. Every time something gets brought to our attention, we contest. And we will contest, and we will contest, and we will contest. She never acted. And you know why I feel this way? I feel this way because she made this process worse, because my mom ended up being hooked on drugs. So for me, you caused it. And if you caused it, you will get absolutely nothing. And yes, that's very vindictive, and I don't really care. But that is what we did, my other siblings and I. And until the day I die, we will tie this up forever and a day.
I have one question in this whole thing. She's tying up the probate to her sibling or the mother?
This child, if it's a boy or girl, he's tying up, he or she is tying up whatever it is
in regards to the outside child of the father, because the mother, because of the relationship that the father bringing this child home, the mother ended up going on drugs, and he blames the woman and the daddy. And so as a result of that, anything that he or the other three siblings think that anytime there's a judgment or whatever you guys say, they tie it up. So nobody get nothing. And based on what he's saying in this text, they don't really need it. And even if they needed it, they tie it up so that the other child that the father brought home will not get anything.
And then remember, this is similar to the instance of the paternity matter. That child, now adult, is innocent. They didn't ask to be here.
I don't know. And listen, Regina. Listen.
And this matter deals with an adult situation that transferred onto a child, because the child now has to deal with an adult issue of, I have to change my name and everything else. And in this instance, it's the same thing. That child did not know that their mother was sleeping with a married man.
But they had to deal with it. In some places, there's something that you can sue for alienation of affection. Regina, I have to be honest with you, right? I can be honest with you. And I'm coming from a female perspective. I guess I'm coming from a holistic perspective or a Roman Catholic view or ideology. If I were to find out today, as grown as I am, if I were to find out today that my father had a child with anybody and it wasn't my brother that my father had with my mother, I think I would feel some type of way, because where you just come from. And not only that means that you were disloyal to my mother. I would feel some type of way, but then again, you don't love. But you cannot fault children for feeling some type of way, Regina. And there's no woman in 2025 that does not understand the copious responsibility of sleeping with somebody's husband. You cannot tell me, oh, I miss and had sex with him. Oh, you knew that this man was married. So why can't I sue you for alienation of affection, or why can't I sue you for being a predator? Because you preyed on my man.
You usually get that if you name the woman in your divorce.
I name every last one in my divorce. I mean, I name every last one. I name every last one from the makeup artist go right down.
You name them in the tram line. You name them in the tram line, or you name them in a body.
I don't name if there's the tram line, the drum line, or the bass line. But I name Sasha. I name everybody. I named everybody, Regina. There was no stone. There was no name left unturned. Okay.
And was any of the women named condemned in court?
Pardon me.
Was any of the women named condemned in court?
No, they were never condemned to pay in costs. But I dealt with that in my other life, Regina. I used to be a boxer, and so I dealt with it on the streets. And so there was no cost paying out. I have a good attorney, you know. I have an attorney that you know on retainer. I call him at will, because at least back then. But I don't do that anymore. You know, I've changed.
Thank God.
My life has changed. Say, oh God. But Regina, these things happen. These things happen, Regina. But I would feel some type of way. And I must say that I sympathize with people that don't necessarily want to give the outside child anything, because why should I? Why should I give you anything? Why should I?
But saying that they're tying it up. If the outside child had a good attorney, there are certain ways for that to be. If they are tying it up because they're the executor or the executrix of the father's will, they can make certain applications to the court to resolve this and for it to be distributed. Because people don't realize. You're saying that you're tying up it all of the legal proceedings and all of the monies. The state has to pay, so that's less money that you are going to receive. Because if we're going
to court, this is the response. This is the response from the texter. Ma'am, none of us need whatever it is that my daddy left. I want you to understand this from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I am an accountant. My sister is an engineer in Fort Lauderdale. My brother is a pilot, and my other little sister, we are sending her to school. She is currently in her third year of a nursing program. We ain't hungry, and we will not give her a dime. So there ends the reading with that. Now, this is another question for you. If a woman confesses on her deathbed, can family seek restitution or reopen the case?
That is a fact-based question, because is the father still alive? And the father has to say that he didn't know that the child wasn't his. And he can say that on her deathbed, she advised him that the child wasn't his. And then he did certain things in order to have proper knowledge, meaning the DNA test. But then he has to be within a year.
Okay. This text reads, if you are willing to sleep with me unprotected, what difference does it make now?
Unprotected sex only gives the option for sexual transfer. And under children, everybody's given the will to be advised of certain stuff or certain important information, and not for somebody to omit or fail to disclose certain things that would help them to make an informed decision. If I'm telling you I'm making a pasta, but you're allergic to parsley, and I don't tell you parsley in it, have I given you enough information for you to agree to eat something that you may be allergic to? That's wrong.
Okay. This text reads, if you are at the baby shower, first steps, birthdays, weren't you already the father in spirit? Get over it. You are the daddy. Okay. That's more of a comment than a question. This text reads, what makes biological connection more important than an emotional connection? I guess that's figurative, and we can leave that for speculation. The next text reads, how many men would step up to raise a child even if they were told it's not theirs biologically? Please get off of this radio talking nonsense. If you've been there, use the daddy. Wow, that is wow. Isn't it hypocritical for men to demand justice now when they never asked for a DNA test back then? I think you should have the right to ask for the DNA test. Like, that's my money. That's my time.
No, that's your right. I have a right to know. Remember, the Hague Convention for the Children allows that a child must not be stateless, that a child must know which country he's from, have a passport, and know his lineage. And that's the same thing in relation to a parent. And I'm doing a matter in relation to DNA testing at this current moment, in which the court sees it as being ordered for a DNA test is a fundamental right of a child. Because a child should know, who am I related to, where I come from, to know who I am going to be and what I can be. Oh. Because that's a part of you. I must be able to say, I am a Barnaby from whatever island. You take pride in saying those things. And a child who does not know who their father is, that takes a lot away from them, because they can be dating or procreating with family members because they don't know where they come from.
I agree. We have a caller on the line. Caller, good evening.
Candanique, how are you?
I'm well. Alpha male, how are you?
This is Alpha male. Good afternoon to your guests, Madam Lady. Candanique, I know my Bible well enough to know that Jezebel's spirit is still alive in the Bahamas.
Strong
in the Bahamas and all over the world. If you don't believe me, ask P. Diddy, who now with millions and all kind of trouble he is in. We can also ask the man who went out of life with Key and believe that all the money can save him. And remember that Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph innocently, and he went to jail. But thank God, favor was over his life. The question is this. Both you, both intelligent women in that studio, is there a gender war that is going on? Why relationship always seems to be toxic? Is this a gender war? That's the question.
I think it is a gender war. I think some men are misogynistic. I think some women are overly feminist, but it is a gender war.
But the innocent discussion is about the child. Do you believe the child deserves to be in this gender war? And this is why we have these poorly socialized children, and we're asking the question, why is it that our children behave in so part of two selfish adults find themselves in a gender war? You think that is fair to a child?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Not. But you also have to understand that it's the cosmetology of the child too. What is the makeup? How are the parents raised? I may be raised one particular way, and then the daddy may be raised a particular way, and then we have to amalgamate how we nurture and how we matriculate the child. It really, really, truly all depends. And the child doesn't deserve to be caught in that type of whirlwind. But we have another caller on the line. Caller, good evening.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. I can barely hear you, sir.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me now?
Hi. Yes. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yes. I have a question in reference to joint tenancy when a parent will has not been probated. Does one of the siblings have any right to ask the court to have another sibling move from the home? And the other question is, as it relates to such a circumstance, does that matter lies between a Supreme Court judge or a magistrate court judge? Is there a difference because whether probate or determining such a situation is the jurisdiction of a Supreme Court judge, magistrate judge has any say in it? I'll listen.
Regina, can you answer that question? Or is this a case before the magistrate?
I know that this may be a live issue because it's very specific, and I do note he stated that he's asking if siblings can alienate another sibling from the home. That is a really goes back to a fact. Is the person the executrix of the will? Who is the beneficiaries for this property? And if all is all of the beneficiaries in agreement to expel this person? Or is this person who is being expelled a beneficiary? There are many questions that need to be answered for a comprehensive reply. And I can't give a comprehensive reply without all of those questions being answered.
All right. Regina, I did not realize that we legitimately went out of time. We went way over time. Dwight is going to hang me. Dwight, please don't round me out. I'm sorry. These are my last few comments, Regina. Please just bear with me. Give me five more minutes. This question here reads, listen, Kenny, y'all already understand what is happening here. It's survival of the fittest. Dwight was on the radio yesterday morning talking about minimum wage. Or wasn't that this morning? Minimum wage is below $350. You really expect me now to manage my four children with my little salary? Are y'all really serious? If I have four baby daddies and four baby daddies are contributing to the overall success, then what does that mean? Everybody wins. Y'all get off y'all high horse and stop acting brand new. Let this money run the city. What? I can't even conceptualize the thought pattern there. That is a lot. Let me read this other two texts that are here for me, please. Let me read these. If you didn't question paternity first, does that mean if I didn't question paternity first, does that mean I forfeited my rights later? We answered that question already. All right. This question reads, why is all the blame put on the woman when the man also consenting adult? Are we putting the blame on the woman, Regina?
The blame is not being put on the woman. The real issue is if you are aware that there's a probability, the possibility that during the gestation period that you had more than one sexual partner, you should advise the person. And you should make all of you to take a DNA test to be certain who is the father, and this issue wouldn't come up. But if you are quiet and you are being deceitful, whether it's by intention or omission, and you want this man to take care of this child to his detriment, his financial and emotional detriment, then you are committing paternity fraud because you're well aware that there's a grave possibility that it's not his.
Okay, so these last three comments read, back in the day, people just did what they had to do. Why stir up this past now? Shots fired to whoever these two people were. May they rot in hell. Oh my gosh. I didn't realize that's what the text was going to say. What if your own father isn't really your father? Should your mother be put on trial too? This is the question for me, eh? Because I look just like my daddy. I think that's rhetorical because that couldn't be for me. Why do some men suddenly want DNA proof when they're angry or breaking up? Because that's how men are. If your mother told you just signed the certificate and did, is that the woman's fault? This next text reads, and this is our final text of the night. This is all very funny. I remember I had a child out of wedlock, and when the child was born, the grandfather took the child to meet his mother. And what do you think the woman did? She took the child's clothes off to see if there was a birthmark that all of them have. Well, there was no blank, blank birthmark. And guess what? The child is his. What do you say about that? Oh man, I don't know what there is to say about that. That's some weird stuff.
No, that's DNA. Not all children. Remember that there's genetics. Some people will have a genetic makeup, and some skip generations and look like grandmothers and don't look like they're the actual parent. We accept that. That's why we prefer DNA testing. Okay. Because DNA testing you to know if you are related.
Regina, you have the last few words here this evening. Can you, you want to say anything? Is there anything that you'd like to say?
I would like to say that if you have doubt and you are in a circumstances where you can have a paternity test done, i.e. if the lady takes you to court and you are unsure, you can ask the magistrate for a paternity test. You will have to pay for it, and if it's not yours, you'll be reimbursed. If you have an inclination that the child is not yours, take certain steps to be secure. Because the more time that you become invested, it's harder for you to make any decision. And you may become aware that the child is not yours, but accept the child is your own. And that's a choice that knowing allows you to do. You can know and claim paternity fraud, or you can know and still be a parent.
Regina, Regina, you promised me 1 hour tonight. We have gone to 8 o'clock. Dwight, thank you for encouraging that we do more time. Chris, my wonderful engineer. Chris was dressed right up on his... I can see if I could find you somebody, Chris. Chris is such a handsome young man and so well-mannered.
Chris, if I was a couple years younger, you'd have been my boyfriend. Couple years, Chris. But ladies and gents, this has been an awesome show this evening. Two individuals that caused this case to come to light have opened up a Pandora's box. I mean, it is going to be no holds bar from here. You born your baby. I would like to have a DNA test. Is the baby mine? The daddy in the daddy and the daddy in no. Ladies and gents, this is another sexy, balmy Tuesday. This is an opportunity for you to know who your baby daddy is. Tonight, have yourself some popcorn. Put your leg on top of that man leg. Have yourself a good evening this Tuesday. To everybody that's within the sound of my voice, you've been listening to Kenny's Corner Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This flashlight coming down, man, at the same time I almost get catch. My wife come looking for me with a face so vexed. She say, what you doing down
by the beach?
From 9 till 4:30 I was picking some
majorine
to make us some
Tennessee
on a
coast road
way down by
Sally Sue.
Ooh, oh, yes,
me and you.
What we do?
Come for two.
I got in a
coast road
way down by
Sally Sue.
Ooh, oh, yes,
me and you.
What we do? Back. She say, my ticket ready, come pick it up. I say, where we going to?
Miami.
Man, along
for a week
at Sally's home.
Tell